Same thing with the jacket, Polly said. My jacket landed next to the coat on the Cadillac's hood and slid down the shiny paint and ended up on the road in a crumpled heap. I was cold. The wind was blowing and my shirt was thin. I could hear Elizabeth breathing behind me, fast and shallow. Richard was just standing there, 5 feet from Polly, waiting for his next instruction.
Now you and your mom walk 50 paces, Polly said to him. Back toward the house.
Richard turned and walked back and passed by me again. I heard his mother get in step with him, heard them walk away together. I turned my head and saw them stop about 40 yards back and turn around and face front again. Polly tracked backward toward the gate, 1 pace, 2, 3. He stopped 5 feet from it. His back was to it. He had me 15 feet in front of him, and I guessed he could see Richard and Elizabeth over my shoulder, maybe 100 feet farther on in the distance. We were all in a perfect straight line on the driveway, Polly near the gate and facing the house, Richard and Elizabeth halfway to the house and facing back at him, me in the middle, trying to stay alive to see what the next minute would bring, facing Polly, looking him square in the eye. He smiled.
Okay. Now, watch carefully.
He stayed facing me the whole time. He maintained eye contact. He crouched down and placed both guns on the blacktop by his feet and flipped them backward toward the base of the gate. I heard their steel frames scraping on the rough surface, saw them come to rest a yard behind him, saw his hands come back, empty. He stood up again and showed me his palms.
No guns. I'm gonna beat you to death.
Chapter 12. I could still hear the Cadillac. I could hear its lumpy V8 whisper and the faint liquid burble from its tailpipes. I could hear drive belts turning slowly under the hood. I could hear the muffler ticking as it adjusted to a new temperature.
Rules,
Polly called.
You get past me, you get the guns.
I said nothing.
You get to them, you can use them.
I said nothing. He kept smiling.
You understand?
I nodded, watched his eyes.
Okay. I won't touch the guns unless you run away. You do that, I'll pick them up and shoot you in the back. Hey, that's fair, right? You gotta stand and fight now.
I said nothing.
Like a man.
Still I said nothing. I was cold. No coat, no jacket.
Like an officer and a gentleman.
I watched his eyes.
We clear on the rules?
I said nothing. The wind was on my back.
We clear on the rules?
Crystal.
You gonna run?
I said nothing.
I think you will, because you're a pussy.
I didn't react.
Officer pussy. Rear echelon whore. Coward.
I just stood there. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And I doubted he knew any words I hadn't heard 100,000 times before. Military cops are never very popular. I tuned his voice out, watched his eyes and his hands and his feet instead, thought hard. I knew a lot about him. None of it was good. He was big, and he was crazy, and he was fast.
Damn ATF spy!
Not exactly, I thought.
Here I come.
He didn't move. I didn't either. I just stood my ground. He was full of meth and steroids. His eyes were blazing.
Coming to get you.
He didn't move. He was heavy. Heavy and strong. Very strong. If he hit me, I would go down. And if I went down, I would never get up again. I watched him. He came up on the balls of his feet. Moved. Fast. Feinted left and stopped. I stood still. Held my ground. Watched him. Thought hard. He was heavier than nature intended. Maybe by 100 or 150 pounds. Maybe by more. So he was fast. But he wouldn't be fast forever. I took a breath.
Elizabeth tells me you can't get it up.
He stared in at me. I could still hear the Cadillac. I could still hear the waves. They were crashing in way behind the house.
Big guy, but not big, everywhere.
No reaction.
I bet my left hand pinky is bigger.
I held it out, halfway curled into my palm.
And stiffer.
His face darkened. He seemed to swell up.
He exploded at me, just launched himself forward with his right arm scything around in a giant roundhouse strike. I sidestepped his body and ducked under his arm and bounced up again and spun around. He stopped short on stiff legs and whipped back toward me. We had changed places. Now I was nearer the guns than he was. He panicked and came at me again, same move. His right arm swung. I sidestepped and ducked, and we were back where we started. But he was breathing a little heavier than I was.
"You're a big girl's blouse," I said.
It was a term of abuse I had picked up somewhere. England, maybe. I had no idea what it meant, but it worked real well with a certain type of guy. It worked real well with Paulie. He came at me again, no hesitation, same exact move. This time I crashed an elbow into his side as I spun under his arm. He bounced straight off of locked knees and came right back at me. I dodged away again and felt the breeze as his giant fist passed an inch above my head. He stood there, panting. I was warming up nicely. I was beginning to feel I had some kind of a chance. He was a very poor fighter. Lots of very big guys are. Either their sheer size is so intimidating it stops fights from ever starting in the first place, or else it lets them win every one directly after their first punch lands. Either way, they don't get much practice. They don't develop much finesse, and they get out of shape. Weights machines and treadmills are no substitute for the kind of urgent, anxious, breathless, tight-throat, high-speed, high-adrenaline fitness you need to fight on the street. I figured Paulie was a prime example. I figured he had weightlifted himself right out of the frame. I blew him a kiss. He swarmed through the air at me, came on like a pile driver. I dodged left and put an elbow in his face, and he connected with his left hand and knocked me sideways like I weighed nothing at all. I went down on one knee and got back up just in time to arch around his next crazy lunge. His fist missed my gut by a quarter inch, and its wild momentum pulled him past me and downward a little, which put the side of his head right in line for a left hook. I let it go with everything I had from my toes on up. My fist crashed into his ear, and he staggered back, and I followed up with a colossal right to his jaw. Then I danced back and took a breather and tried to see what damage I had done. No damage. I had hit him four times, and it was like I hadn't hit him at all. The two elbows had been solid smashes, and the two punches had been as hard as anything I had ever thrown in my life. There was blood on his upper lip from the second elbow, but there was absolutely nothing else wrong with him. Theoretically, he should have been unconscious, or in a coma. It was probably 30 years since I ever had to hit a guy more than four times, but he showed no pain, no concern. He wasn't unconscious. He wasn't in a coma. He was dancing around and smiling again. He was relaxed, moving easy, huge, impregnable. There was no way to hurt him. I looked at him and knew for sure I had no chance at all. And he looked at me and knew exactly what I was thinking. He smiled wider, got balanced on the balls of both feet, and hunched his shoulders down low and held his hands out in front of him like claws. He stamped his feet left, right, left, right. It was like he was pawing the ground, like he was going to come and get me and tear me apart. The smile distorted into a terrible wide grin of pleasure. He came straight at me, and I dodged left. But he was ready for that maneuver, and he landed a right hook in the center of my chest. It felt exactly like being hit by a 400-pound weightlifter moving at 6 miles an hour.